The Ghost of Christmas Past. Lupin tossed and turned for about 3 hours before finally dozing into a fitful sleep, dreaming that he and Elizabeth were dancing beneath the stars in their backyard as they'd done on her birthday the past summer. He woke with a start and leapt to his feet, wand in hand, quite aware there was someone else in the room.
"I told you," sighed a bored voice from the chair, "that if you fuck this up again, I'll come back and haunt you."
"Lumos!" He staggered backwards a step. Sirius was sprawled out in the chair in a familiar position, his feet propped up on the desk and a roguish grin spread across his face. This was not the Sirius of Grim Old Place, or even the Caribbean, who had never quite lost the haunted look, nor the years Azkaban had added to his face. It was the Sirius of before their world had turned upside down in one day. He looked young, careless, happy, and handsome, dressed in a half-buttoned white shirt with wide cuffs and black trousers, sporting a bright red earring.
"What do you think? Christmas cheer,"
he indicated the earring.
"You look horrible, Mooney. Maybe you better take a shower. At least I got your ass out of bed without having to throw a lantern at you." "What the fuck? No, you're not dreaming, and no, I'm not a ghost, because I've gone on, as you know, blah, blah."
Sirius waved his hand impatiently.
"Can we skip past all the are you really real business? You want to know how tiresome that is?"
Lupin said nothing for at least 5 minutes. Sirius stood up.
"Well, this is a first," he grinned. "We're going on a trip. I certainly hope you'll be better company than this." "This doesn't make any sense,"
Lupin mumbled and sat down on the bed.
"Of course it does. I told you, didn't I? Since when do I go back on my promises?"
He gave a short, barking laugh.
"If you don't quit staring at me, I'm going to start talking about the bloody goblin wars." "Sirius, look, you'll get used to me as we go along,"
he replied nonchalantly. Lupin stood up but kept giving him a careful look and did not put his wand away.
"And how do I know you're not a Death Eater in disguise?" "Well, I don't know, Mad Eye. Why don't you ask me a security question?"
Lupin thought about this for a moment.
"What was the last thing you said to me the night that James and Lily died?"
Sirius frowned.
"Oh, bloody hell. The fuck am I to remember that? We're in that miserable camp at Brooksall." "Oh, I know. We're arguing because I wanted to play Exploding Snipe and you wanted me to shut the hell up. I think the last thing I said was fuck off and go to sleep then, asshole."
"That was it. It's a touching memory."
Lupin smiled at him, and the next moment they were embracing. When he stood back, his eyes were swimming with tears, and Sirius frowned at him.
"Well, don't be a girl,"
he said with a catch in his voice.
"I've got things to do."
He looked down at the floor.
"Well, let's go then,"
Lupin told him with a smile.
"Up for adventure?" "Weren't we always? I certainly hope you're going to give me a vision of heaven, or you can show me hell if Riddle's down there."
Sirius looked at him sternly.
"I can't show you either. Heaven would ruin everything for you here. You would never think of anything else, and hell only exists to finish off what you've already lost anyway. That's it. Riddle's gone. No endless suffering for millions of years. Damn." "Yeah, kind of disappointed me too."
Sirius sat down on the bed and watched Lupin pace around.
"I haven't a clue where we're going. I wasn't allowed to make the itinerary,"
he said in an aggravated voice.
"If I had, we'd go back to that bar in the Caribbean so you could watch yourself staggering around, telling a banshee how dead sexy she was and shouting at me to shut it when I suggested you might want to bring her home." "I really shouldn't drink fire whiskey."
Sirius raked his hand through his mane of black hair and shook it out, another gesture so familiar Lupin had to smile.
"As far as this trip, I don't know that it's to be especially pleasant. I wasn't too excited about that. They tell me it'll help you, though, if we'll pay attention. So, here I am, mate. You trust me?"
This wasn't exactly what Lupin wanted to hear, but he knew the answer to the question.
"Always did. Let's get on with it, then."
There was a crack, and the room disappeared. They were standing in the doorway of a stiflingly warm child's bedroom, a room with whitewashed wooden bunk beds, a tall bookshelf crammed to overflowing, toy soldiers chasing each other while hurling miniature explosives, and a boy of about 6 flopped sullenly face down on a shabby green carpet with his arms over his head. Occasionally, he would look up and irritably poke at a beetle with a twig.
"What the hell is this?"
Sirius demanded.
"And I know that's you. That's your sullen routine. I wish I had a galleon for every time I saw you throw yourself dramatically on your bed and put a pillow over your head. We better do something more exciting than this,"
he sulked.
"I was hoping we'd go back to one of our battles. Maybe the one where we beheaded that giant. That was fucking awesome."
This is my house on Mermaid Street. And cutting off that damn giant's head was not fucking awesome. It took 2 damned hours and ruined the blade on my sword. If you weren't such an incredible nag, I wouldn't have helped you do it.
Well, Sirius gave him a triumphant look.
It looked bloody fantastic on our nightstand with that Gryffindor flag in it, Sirius, and you know it. Remember when Weasley first saw it? He thought we were fucking nutters. The first war wasn't so bad, he mused thoughtfully. Till the end of it, obviously. Are you kidding me? 2 years of sharing a tent with you, a god-awful giant's head which did not look bloody fantastic, and your 5-foot pile of dirty laundry. I like the caves I hang out in now much better.
Why are you hanging out in caves? Sirius said interestedly, and Lupin gave him a startled look. His expression had reminded him uncannily of Timothy, an issue which he wasn't sure whether to bring up or not.
Shacklebolt,
he replied.
No need for further explanation,
Sirius said cheerfully. They stepped back when the door opened and let out simultaneous groans when an all too familiar with long silver plates, blue robes, and a stern air stepped into the room with his cane.
Bloody hell,
Sirius said disgustedly.
Not that old fuck.
Grandpa John crossed his arms and regarded his great-great-grandson in his prone position on the carpet very sternly.
This is exactly why I'm coming to live here, he proclaimed loudly. So you won't be lollygagging about in your room all day, sulking. Never saw a child so sullen, whiny, irritable, obstinate, stubborn, recalcitrant.
That isn't even a word,
the boy mumbled, and John glowered at him dreadfully.
You tell him, Mooney, Sirius said cheerily. Wonder how old he was when he ate that bloody thesaurus.
Certainly it's a word. Read your dictionary,
the old man shouted and sat himself on the bottom bunk.
Now sit up and look at me.
No,
the boy yelled into the carpet.
Leave me alone.
Sirius grinned at this. John pointed his wand and flipped the boy up into a seated position, revealing 2 black eyes, a split lip, and a swollen nose.
Arseholes,
Sirius spat out, but Lupin just sighed.
Who's done this?
John yelled.
Never mind,
the boy shouted back and burst into tears.
Somebody always beats me up if I go outside. But I can't stand not to go outside. I tried to run over to Grandpa Horace's and they wouldn't let me in.
He flung his cane across the room.
Worthless! He screamed. I'll blast him to pieces! I'll hex him into oblivion! He'll rue the day he takes me on!
The boy kept sobbing, and John picked him up and sat him on his lap.
I'll stop all that snivelling,
he said sternly, but his eyes were troubled.
We'll go to the leaky cauldron, and I'll get you a blood-orange dreamsicle, and when we get back, I'll teach you some magic!
Really?
Apparently, magic was the magic word.
That'd be cool! Look, what should I do?
He promptly disappeared and reappeared on the other side of the bedroom, grinning broadly.
Showing off,
Sirius commented with a smirk.
That always cheered you up.
Lupin shook his head at this.
Sirius Black is talking to me about showing off,
he commented to no one in particular.
The most arrogant son of a bitch that ever walked God's green earth.
Sirius smiled.
Possibly true,
he replied thoughtfully.
Excellent,
John shouted to his beaming progeny.
Can't let it be known, no. Have to take a test to operate now, you know. Supposed to be 17. It's rubbish! Balderdash! Hogwash! Cod's wallop!
Wonder why he's never looked me up,
Sirius said with a puzzled air.
I suppose it's because he hated me. He hasn't looked you up, because he's still alive,
Lupin replied solemnly.
You are fucking kidding me! No bloody way!
You think I'd joke about that? He just turned 140. Anyway, he didn't hate you. He just thought you were very badly behaved.
Probably didn't help when he walked in on you yelling about your damn dick.
Well, whose fault was that?
Sirius barked out irritably.
You and James were the ones that told me it wasn't going to work again because I'd done it too early. And that bloody Flitwick backed you up. That little shit.
You shouldn't have shut him up in the desk drawer. He never liked you after that.
Sirius looked at John again.
He had a certain set of adjectives for me,
he mused.
I think the first one was arrogant. Arrogant, prideful, something like that. Yeah, that was it,
Sirius said delightedly.
Arrogant, prideful, big-headed, stuck up, egotistical. Then there was a set about my, shall we say, mischievous tendencies. Ruffian, hoodlum, thug, hooligan, marauder.
They both broke out laughing.
We've got to give him credit for the name, anyway.
Lupin smiled.
Did you know we've got chocolate frog cards now? There's a Marauder collectible set.
Gone but not forgotten,
Sirius laughed.
I thought you'd be the only one that even remembered that word. Well, except for McGonagall. She probably sees it written across the wall in blood when she's sleeping. No doubt. She's after me because she seems to think, he put on an offended tone, that I'm some sort of bad influence on a few of the first years. Are you? Excellent. And George Weasley has that shite we wrote making him an honorary marauder under glass in his store. We remain infamous.
Sirius laughed until tears streamed down his face.
Well, good to know. Fuck, I hope we go back to that weekend John came by during 6th year. He had that bloody fit and started screaming at him. That was just damn entertaining,
he finished cheerfully.
I never screamed at him, Lupin said in an offended tone. Give me a fucking break, Mooney,
Sirius looked disgusted.
Don't lie to a dead guy. He started in about knowing you were up to no good with Sissy and you yelled, Shut up, you idiotic fuckhead, asshole, prick, dick face, butt wart. God, I love your angsty face.
Lupin ignored this and looked back at the scene in the room. John and his young descendant were preparing to go out the door, when the boyish Lupin, who was apparently around Teddy's age, stopped and gave him a very serious look.
If they won't let us in, he said. Linky Cauldron's got that sign, you know. Werewolves not welcome here. Some people can tell,
he added darkly.
I don't know how.
John's eyes flashed.
Nobody there will take me on. I hope they give it a go.
It isn't their fault, the boy sighed. It's because I'm a dark creature. That's why I can't go back to school. I heard Dad telling Mum.
Lupin was rather puzzled when the room disappeared, and they found themselves in Dumbledore's office, where his 10-year-old self sat in front of the headmaster's desk, as Albus perused him with his head rested on his folded hands.
Here we go, Sirius said happily. Let's see you wormed your way into Hogwarts. I never could figure this out.
I know a lot about you, Remus, Dumbledore was saying mildly. Tell me something I don't know.
You do? You mean besides me being a werewolf?
He said in a startled voice. This was apparently rather disquieting news.
Certainly, Dumbledore smiled. You know all the pure blood families are interrelated. Your great-great-grandfather John is my second cousin. Very determined fellow. Stood down by that gargoyle shouting for 2 hours until I brought him up. He was quite insistent you come to school here.
But Mum and Dad said the governors won't let me.
I have gone temporarily deaf,
Dumbledore replied amiably, and poked his finger in his ear for good measure,
and haven't heard a word you said. The lycanthropy business is a matter between you, the school nurse, and me. Now, we've been talking for 2 hours, and I know you're polite and well brought up. You're quite intelligent, and John has taught you far more magic than he should have. Tell me something I don't know.
He fixed him with his compassionate gaze.
I don't like myself,
the young Lupin said matter-of-factly.
I wish that wolf had eaten me up.
Dumbledore gave him a horrified look and hurried around his desk.
Man, you're one boring kid, Sirius yawned. That's the first thing I thought when I saw you. That is the dullest fucker I've ever seen.
I think I still give the same impression,
Lupin smiled, remembering Kenny.
At least according to this drugged-up muggle I lived with for 6 months.
He lived with a drugged-up muggle? Why in the hell did you do that? Wasn't living a crazy drunken wizard enough for you?
I lived at Quinton's house with his...
Lupin struggled for the right word.
People he keeps. Anyway, muggles are much crazier than you ever were. Just in a different sort of way.
He keeps people? What the fuck's wrong with him?
Maybe that isn't the right word,
Lupin said thoughtfully.
He tends to feel responsible for things he shouldn't.
Well, no wonder you two get on,
Sirius said irritably.
That's the last sort you need to be around. You're too serious as it is. You need somebody that'll cheer you up.
I haven't needed cheering up,
Lupin said ruefully.
I've been so happy for the past 6 months, you probably couldn't have stood it. Well, except for when Shacklebolt's got me in a cave,
he added cheerfully.
Anyway, Quinton isn't always serious. He's got that same sarcastic humour as Severus, but he's much more likeable.
Creature was more likeable than Severus,
Sirius barked out disgustedly. Lupin smiled and turned back to watch Dumbledore kneel in front of his young self.
I like you very well, he said in his calm manner, and I'm quite a good judge of character. You and I are going to be very good friends, he said sternly, and what you become one day will surprise you.
A banshee fucking storytelling werewolf who's much too nice for his own good,
Sirius announced.
That's what he's trying to tell you. What are you going to become?
You're too kind, Lupin smiled at him. I've become rather worse.
You? The good boy with a prefect badge? The one who kept us from tearing each other apart at Grimmauld? How the hell you figure that?
Well, Lupin replied thoughtfully, I seem to keep trying to kill Percy Weasley.
Sirius broke out laughing.
Good for you, he grinned. Somebody's got to do it.
Lupin shuddered when they showed up in the infirmary at Hogwarts. It was well past lights out.
Lumos, Sirius muttered. I can't see in the dark, you know. Not a damn ghost.
A barely adolescent Lupin was lying in bed, looking dreadful, and Sirius had just thrown off the invisibility cloak and pulled up a chair to his bedside.
Wake up, Lupin, Sirius was saying worriedly. I wish you'd talk.
Lupin mumbled something incoherent.
You should have been around this weekend,
Sirius told him.
James and I put a rope round Pete and dropped him off the North Tower right on top of Snivellus. Scared that bloody fucker to death. He jumped up and hit Pete right when McGonagall came round the corner, and she gave him 3 detentions and 25 points from Slytherin.
The boyish Lupin said nothing, but a ghost of a smile flitted across his face.
I wish you'd talk, Sirius said again and frowned at him. Did she even give you a bloody pillow? I'll get you one.
He threw the invisibility cloak on and returned a few moments later, pillow in hand.
Nicked it from a first year,
he announced triumphantly as he shoved it under Lupin's head.
Didn't take off my cloak either. Scared the shit out of him. And I know you can hear me,
he continued determinedly.
You hear everything. It's fucking creepy is what it is. Makes it damn hard to talk about you behind your back. Anyway, James has lost his damn mind. He gave Lily a poem he wrote in potions class, and she told him to stick it up his bloody arse. She's a stuck-up bitch,
he said disgustedly.
And Slughorn didn't even give her a detention. He's got the hots for her or something. It's sick. He's no fat fuck, and she's a third year.
Good lord,
the adult Sirius snapped disgustedly.
Am I going to ramble on all night? This is embarrassing. And you're just lying there like you're petrified. You're a damn poor company.
Why did you do it then?
Lupin said with a smirk.
Every month. All night. For 6 years.
Don't ask me,
Sirius barked out irritably.
Maybe because you look like a rotting corpse lying there. Maybe because I just like sneaking out and hiding under the cloak.
Maybe.
Maybe it was all so damn unfair.
Sirius turned away.
You had to go through this shite every fucking month. Piss me off.
Well, you shouldn't have had to go to Azkaban,
Lupin replied.
That was infinitely worse.
Not so much. Place kind of grows on you after a while.
It does not. All right, it doesn't.
Sirius had almost backed out of the doorway.
I don't see what this has to do with you. This is more about me acting like a girl. Might as well just start crying and bring you some damn flowers.
That would have been very thoughtful.
Sirius gave him a sour look and paused.
My family wasn't exactly affectionate to me,
he said finally.
Well, that's putting it extremely mildly.
I've never even known how to be demonstrative, I guess you'd say. Well, do you think I kept all my relationships with women so casual? I'd had some serious girlfriend, she'd expected me to say romantic stuff to her,
he shuddered.
Anyway, I suppose this,
he indicated himself on the chair at Lupin's side, continuing with his incessant chatter,
was all I could do to tell you I was your friend. You were the person I cared about most on this earth, you know.
Lupin couldn't speak.
Well, you and the off-par twins,
Sirius continued in a cheerful tone.
Damn they were all! Did you ever shag them? You never would tell me.
Not at the same time. That's just bloody disgusting.
Don't knock it till you've tried it,
he grinned.
Everybody's shagged them. George Weasley's shagged them. So's Harry. He won't admit it unless he's shit-faced drunk, though.
Sirius started laughing.
Yeah, I guess they're all grown up now.
Lupin thought of the battle at Malfoy Manor.
Definitely. I wish you'd known Neville.
Who?
Remember the chubby kid with the bad glasses that was in the battle at the Department of Mysteries?
Oh, yeah. Vaguely. I was a bit worried about him. He looked kind of nervous.
He's Alice Prewitt's son. You know, Shmira, that nasty Longbottom. Anyway, he and Harry and Ron are 25, and George is almost 27. Charlie's 33, and Bill's 36.
They had walked out into the main infirmary and sat down on a couple of chairs by Madame Pomfrey's desk. She sat beside them, obliviously charting with her white quill pen.
Fuck.
Sirius shook his head.
Time flies when you're dead.
Well, this isn't so bad, Lupin thought as the room disappeared again. Although what the hell it has to do with Elizabeth, I've no idea. They came upon themselves tromping through the woods on a summer day that was obviously sweltering. Their long white broadcloth shirts were untucked with the sleeves rolled up, and their order cloaks were thrown across their arms. They had wands in hand and swords clanking at their sides, but did not seem to be on alert.
"Scouting," Lupin said knowingly to Sirius. "This must have been one of those times Arthur sent us out looking for campgrounds."
"Anyway,"
the younger Lupin was announcing to a very bored-looking Sirius,
"Weasley's all right. I sat up and talked to him last night."
"You mean you were bothering him about Elizabeth?"
Sirius replied disgustedly.
"You're just happy you got somebody new to yammer at. And please don't tell me you showed him that picture. You're embarrassing yourself."
"Of course I did,"
Lupin looked offended as they slashed their way through some brambles and branches.
"What's wrong with that? Anyway, he's got this totally weird fascination with muggles. It's great,"
he finished happily.
"He actually wants to hear about what she wears and how she can play that piano forte and what she looks like."
Sirius gave him a revolted look.
"For God's sake, shut up," he groaned. "I don't think there's one bloody word she's ever said I haven't heard 50 fucking times. I can't take it anymore. You've been on this for 9 months. Change the fucking subject,"
he snapped rudely.
"I haven't got an owl from her in a while,"
Lupin replied.
"What do you think is up with that?"
"I don't know,"
Sirius replied in an aggravated tone.
"Maybe she's too busy gazing at her far beyond mortal beauty in the mirror."
"She is beautiful. You didn't see her on that beach,"
Lupin replied dreamily.
"You know what I was thinking about last night?"
"For God's sake, don't tell me,"
Sirius barked out irritably.
"Do not tell me."
"I was thinking about what she smells like. Like exactly what it is,"
Lupin replied pensively.
"I think I've finally figured it out."
Sirius gave Lupin a horrified look and hurried away from him. But unfortunately, Lupin caught up with him rather quickly.
"Jasmine and honeysuckle, with just a touch of musk,"
he said in a love-struck voice.
"Nothing like it. That's exactly what it is."
Sirius looked as if he were perilously close to vomiting.
"That does it," he yelled. "I'm going to go join Voldemort. Anything to get away from you."
"She has the darkest blue eyes,"
Lupin continued in a trance-like voice.
"They're midnight blue, like the night sky,"
he sighed. The present-day Sirius gave Lupin a triumphant look, and Lupin broke out laughing.
"Fine, you were right," he grinned. "This is just tragic. I can't believe you didn't kill me in my sleep."
"Thought about it,"
Sirius replied cheerily.
"Figured James would be pissed, though."
"And Quentin thinks I'm pathetic now," Lupin thought with an evil grin. "I'm bringing him back here and showing him this. He will fucking shit himself." The woods disappeared with a crack. They were standing on the hillside about 20 feet above a campsite, and Sirius started walking down to the cluster of tents below.
"Damn it, Sirius, is this Brooksall?"
"Looks like it."
They approached the middle of a group of 6 tents, a few inches of snow crunching beneath their feet, and Lupin smiled when he noticed Sirius was wearing his familiar black cloak with the red collar.
"You took that thing with you into the afterlife. I always wondered what happened to it."
"Well, it was my favorite cloak," he grinned. "And you're not meant to take things with you, as you know. I kind of summoned it,"
he added sheepishly.
"Well, that isn't surprising. You're the only person I can imagine trying to sneak something into heaven."
"And succeed in,"
Sirius replied with a smirk.
"Although I did get in a bit of trouble for it."
They paused about 15 feet from the front of the tent, which was hung with the Gryffindor banner and the old Marauder flag, a gold cross on a red background with the outlines of a wolf, a dog, a stag, and a rat in each corner. Lupin knew immediately what day it was when Dumbledore and Arthur Weasley apparated directly in front of them with grim expressions.
"Well, bloody fuck!" Sirius jumped back. "They didn't have to land on top of us, did they? That damn Weasley always was dead clumsy."
Arthur's face was streaked with tears, and though he was in his early 30s, he looked like a middle-aged man racked with grief. Dumbledore, who appeared as ancient as always with his long flowing beard and purple robes, had no light whatsoever in his eyes. Looking at him, Lupin couldn't even remember the familiar twinkle.
"How can we tell him?" Arthur's voice cracked. "His parents, that girl. Well, he isn't over her yet. They're all he's got."
"He's got me," Dumbledore replied in a steely voice. "And you. Perhaps not enough, but we'll do our best."
He rapped on the door of the tent. Lupin looked at Sirius, who was watching the scene very intently.
"You haven't seen this before, have you?"
he asked him.
"No, never wanted to."
The very young Lupin had staggered out the door with his usual early morning cheer, scowling horribly and shaking his untidy dark blonde hair. But the moment he saw Dumbledore, he snapped to attention.
"Sir?"
he said courteously and looked warily from him to Arthur.
"Remus,"
Arthur's voice broke.
"What the hell's happened?"
It was obvious he'd gone from wary to terrified in about 3 seconds.
"There's been an attack," Dumbledore said steadily and put his hand on his arm,
and Arthur drew up protectively on the other side of him.
"James and
Lily.
He did not need to finish. Lupin started kicking the doorframe of his tent.
Fuck! Fuck! Oh, bloody hell. Harry.
He wiped his sleeve across his eyes.
I don't believe it. Both of them?
Dumbledore and Arthur exchanged looks of dread.
I'm afraid so, Dumbledore replied gently. Harry's fine, and apparently Voldemort's on the run. The war's over. We've won.
This apparently meant nothing at all.
Fuck!
He kicked the doorframe so hard he started hopping around on one foot, and half of the tent fell over.
But the Ministry took that tent out of your paycheck,
Sirius remarked idly.
Money-grubbing bastards. Where's Sirius?
Lupin shouted, and Sirius stopped smiling. Dumbledore winced as visibly as if he'd been slapped.
It seems they were betrayed. The Ministry believes Sirius was responsible.
The shagging all the Hufflepuff virgins at Hogwarts,
Sirius finished cheerfully.
He bloody well is not,
shouted the boyish Lupin, and gave the half-sagging remainder of the tent a look that bursted into flames.
On verbal fiend fire,
Sirius appeared mildly impressed.
Bloody hell, you're pretty pissed off.
Dumbledore looked around carefully, apparently unconcerned that a tent was blazing beside them.
I know that, he said quietly. And Arthur knows it as well. You can't let it be known. They're going to suspect you were in league with him anyway. Everyone knows you two were.
What's that supposed to mean?
Sirius said in an offended voice.
That's why there's all that slash written about us, Mooney. You're always hanging on me too much.
You're even more annoying than when you were alive,
Lupin sighed.
I wasn't ever hanging on you. You were the one that always wanted to hug me when you'd had too much fire whiskey.
Well, it was the only time I liked you.
And what the hell is slash?
You really don't want to know,
Sirius replied cheerfully.
Where is he?
They were distracted back to the scene by the tent when Lupin started screaming at Arthur. Dumbledore turned away to extinguish the fiend fire, and Lupin saw for the first time the tears that ran down his wrinkled old cheeks. There was a long and painful silence. Even Sirius did not speak. The utter quiet was like a tangible cloud that stretched out forever, as far as the snow-covered plains that met the horizon, and just as bitterly cold.
He's in Azkaban, Dumbledore replied flatly. Life sentence.
No, he's not. He was here last night. There was bloody cards he threw on the floor. All his stuff is here. I'm going to go find him.
Lupin resolutely stalked away from the two men, and Dumbledore apparated immediately in front of him.
You can't find him, Remus, he said very gently. You can't help him.
I'll get him out or I'll die trying, he spat out. Get the hell out of my way.
Fuck,
Sirius remarked, but his voice was a bit tenuous.
Tell me again why he liked you best.
James and I still can't figure it out.
He didn't.
You really don't see things that are right in front of your face, do you, Mooney?
Dumbledore had not moved, and Lupin suddenly looked paralyzed with fear.
Tell me, this isn't real,
he said to him pleadingly.
There's no bloody way this is real. It's one of my nightmares, right? Please, don't tell me he's there. The Dementors!
He fell down on his knees in the snow, and Sirius walked away from the scene rather quickly. Lupin waited a few moments and followed him.
Great day you had,
Sirius remarked when he caught up with him.
Excellent way to start your morning.
Lupin just gave him a sour look.
Well?
Lupin started pacing around when they reappeared in the shack.
What's the point of it all, then? Other than that the people I love have an annoying habit of dying. I figured that out a long time ago.
Sirius drummed his fingers impatiently on the broken coffee table. They were sitting on the moth-eaten, half-sagged, old plaid couch they'd managed to drag into the front room during fourth year, and Lupin had waved up some butterbeer.
Let me think on it. I always was a wicked genius. I don't know how you got top marks for Gryffindor. You wouldn't study, and you aren't any smarter than I am. Minor point. Anyhow, I did get a bit of background before I came here. I heard your god-awful excuse for a marriage proposal in Elizabeth's response, and I saw you two fighting in the garden.
Lupin winced.
So, what's the verdict? Same damn thing as always. She said yes, and you're too fucked up to realise it. You don't ask her again, and then you announce that you wish you'd never gotten involved with her. You're a bloody self-fulfilling prophecy, Mooney. You expected her to dump you, and then you ran her off.
Lupin looked rather shocked at this.
I didn't expect her to dump me, he said evenly. I'm not the same as when I was 10.
You're exactly the same, barked Sirius. Maybe you don't wish the wolf had eaten you up, but you still think there's something inherently wrong with you. And somewhere in the back of your mind, you're always waiting for disaster to strike. All four of us in one day. Your parents, Rihanna. Why wouldn't you?
Well, that may be, he replied pensively. There is something inherently wrong with me, obviously.
No, there isn't, Sirius yelled. Fenrir gave you a nasty problem you've got to deal with. It's nothing to do with who you are.
Lupin reflected on this for a moment and sighed.
So, what was the point of the infirmary? The scene in the infirmary, Sirius said triumphantly, was a vignette about how your friends care for you. I suppose they picked me since I was the host of this trip. Or maybe it was a punishment for summoning the cloak. He smiled. Anyway, could have been James. He spent a year learning how to be an anime guy for you, and then helped the two of us learn to do it. Or Albus, who probably loved you like your son. Or even Pete. You don't know the whole story, he added, when Lupin jerked his head up in surprise.
We were friends with you because of who you were, Mooney. Before we knew about the wolf, and after we knew about the wolf. It didn't matter, either way. And all of us, even Pete, loved you just as you were. So you won't accept that you're a worthwhile person. You're really saying our friendship meant nothing at all.
Lupin looked at the floor for a long time, and then started smiling.
I never knew you to be so analytical.
People change,
Sirius responded loftily.
Not after they're dead.
What exactly are you saying?
He replied in an offended tone.
They told you all this. You didn't just sit here and figure it out.
Oh, well, Sirius grinned. Perhaps I'm not a wicked genius. As long as I'm as charming and handsome as I think I am.
I'll give you that.
Sirius stood up, and Lupin felt a sudden panic.
Where are you going?
I can't stay here, you know.
Sirius looked at him sadly.
It'll be all right. Go back and patch things up. Quit expecting the worst. And don't doubt her.
Sirius.
Lupin was on his feet as well.
This is the third time I've got to tell you goodbye. This fucking sucks.
Well, don't say it then. It's just till we meet again.
Not so long, he said casually.
80 or 90 years? Well, all right, a long damn time. Too long, but you've got Elizabeth, all your other friends and your son and this baby that's coming up, which you better name after me if it's a boy. I think you'll survive.
Lupin felt the old familiar pain sitting heavily on his chest.
That's the trouble, though,
he told Sirius in an odd voice.
There isn't anyone quite like you. You're rather a unique character. Nobody can replace you. Well, I could say the same.
Look,
Sirius hesitated.
Watch out for my son, will you?
So he knows.
I already am, and speaking of sons,
damn it, I'm not going to cry.
Do you see John Richard? Anything you could tell me would... Well, it would mean a lot to Elizabeth.
Sirius gave him a knowing smile.
He's great, Mooney. He's what I imagine you'd have been like without Fenrir's involvement. Always cheerful, likes to tell a story. His hair's dark brown, but he's tall and he's got your eyes. Startled me when I first met him. Back in May, we had this battle. I suppose I was dying, but they brought me back. I was walking in this forest and Rihanna came up and talked to me. I always wondered if I just dreamed it.
No.
Sirius looked a bit sad.
We know when someone's coming. Someone you've loved on Earth, that is. We're kind of like our post. We were all gathered about in this clearing, getting impatient. Rihanna got tired of waiting and ran down the path. But she looked like she did when she died, and you talk about John Richard as if he grew up.
Oh, she's grown up. Very pretty girl.
He smiled rather wickedly.
Interesting, though. I watched her run down the path, and she seemed to keep getting smaller and younger. I suppose it was so you'd recognize her when she got to you.
Lupin mulled this over for a while.
Kind of disappointed me when you didn't come. Well, it really disappointed me, but I thought about Teddy and I supposed it was for the best. I wanted to go, you know,
Lupin replied.
And I think I would have, but I kept thinking about Elizabeth. I couldn't stand to leave her.
Then don't,
Sirius told him sternly.
Make it right.
Lupin just nodded. He stepped forward to hug him and was surprised to see Sirius, who never liked people touching him, hugged him a long time and stepped back with tears in his eyes.
Be happy, Mooney. There's no one who deserves it more than you.
He disappeared without a sound. Lupin walked back upstairs and took out his pocket watch. The time was exactly the same as when he'd first woken up. Damn, I miss that obnoxious bastard. Why do you have to come back and remind me of just how much? And did this actually even happen? He glanced across the room, and since he didn't know whether to laugh or cry, did both. Draped across the settee was the old black cloak with the red collar, and pinned to it was a note.
Just so you know, it was for real, mate. Padfoot.